Trinadapi Sunichena Tarori Vasahishnuna Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Harinama Harinama Harename Vikivalam Glo Nastjeva 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 Gatiranyata Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I'd like to read to you from a small section of the Bhagavad Gita, and from there we will try to explain one of the fundamental concepts of Krishna consciousness. That concept is called sacrifice, and how it is exactly demonstrated in today's world. If you're ready to proceed, please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, the Bhagavad Gita was spoken in India 5,000 years ago on a battlefield. And the Bhagavad Gita means the song of God. Since the Bhagavad Gita is spoken by God Himself, then it is most authoritative. One of the subjects of the Bhagavad Gita is the concept of sacrifice. It's dealt with in a certain section, chapter 3. So please listen to a series of verses just so that you get a feeling for the subject matter. So Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. Arjuna, in chapter 2, surrendered to Krishna. He said to Krishna, Shishyasteham shadimang twang prapanam. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. And this is actually the correct method for trying to understand Bhagavad Gita. This attitude of Arjuna, now I am a soul surrendered unto you, that should be the mentality when one tries to approach Bhagavad Gita in order to get the most benefit out of it. So Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. So Vishnu is another form of Krishna, God. You'll notice Srila Prabhupada in his books interchanges Vishnu, Krishna, Narayan, because we're talking about the same concept, God, the Supreme Being. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain free from bondage. So duty. In the Vedic culture, duty is every aspect of one's life. Even before conception, duties were there. During the pregnancy, duties were performed. And then as soon as one takes birth, immediately duties are there. That's if you want to live a religious, cultured, life. Of course, if one wants to be a demon, you don't have any duties. The only duty for a demon is, let me enjoy. Any price, I don't care, I will enjoy. Sound like a country, you know? Sound like a political party trying to gain the White House? Anyway, those who are cultured and religious, they live by a in-depth series of duties. Even the great king Maharaj Parikshit, who was cursed to die within 7 days. As soon as he was informed, you have 7 days to live. What was the first thing Parikshit said? What is my duty now? So this concept of duty, that is very, very important. So Krishna is saying, you have duties to perform. They should be done for the satisfaction of God. That is called a God-conscious life. Most people who are not religious, they're maybe doing duties, but what's the purpose? What's in it for me? How can I be happy? What have you done for me lately? But here, Krishna is speaking about doing your duties for the satisfaction of God. That's called a God-conscious life. And Krishna says, if you don't do that, then what's going to happen? You're going to become entangled. What does entangled mean? Entangled means that there is a purpose to life. That purpose of life is to become self-realized. That purpose of life is for you and me to achieve complete liberation. Tomorrow, we will have the parade, Martin Luther King parade. Dr. Martin Luther King, famous for a very powerful speech, wanted to become free, free at last. But the real freedom cannot be achieved by any political maneuvering. The real freedom, emancipation, liberation, is not achieved by any material scheme, political scheme. There is a way to become free. There is a way to become liberated. That's what Bhagavad Gita is teaching. How to become really liberated, eternally liberated, to become really free at last. No more birth and death. That is what Bhagavad Gita is teaching. That's why I joined this movement. I joined this movement because, yes, I want to become free. Before I joined this Krishna consciousness movement, I know it may be hard to believe, I was a hippie. And I used to play in nightclubs. I was in Greenwich Village, the Dom of hippiedom on the East Coast. And I had a song I used to sing. I choose to be free. At that time, my concept of freedom was, I don't want to join the army. Anything but that. So that's why I wrote the song. But then coming to Krishna consciousness, reading Srila Prabhupada's books, meeting the devotees, now I got the real conception of freedom. It has to be eternal. It has to be permanent, not temporary. And that is what Krishna and the Bhagavad Gita are offering. Eternal freedom and liberation. Krishna continues, in the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods, along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and blessed them by saying, Be thou happy by this sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. So here's another idea. We are here in this material world, and there are two ways of living in this world. You can live by the laws of God, or you can live disobedient to the laws of God. Many times when I am speaking or preaching, I emphasize that the laws of God are the same thing as the laws of nature. Because sometimes people don't like the G word, God. Sometimes you can't use that word. Oh, he said the G word. Well, he's not scientific. Ooh. All right, laws of nature. I don't have a problem with that, because I know who has created these laws of nature. Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are indicating these laws of nature, which even the atheists and the scientists accept. We know who has created these laws. God. So if we obey the laws of God, you can be happy, free. I give the example. When you get a driver's license, you drive your car, you obey all the traffic laws, you won't get any trouble. But if you break those traffic laws,
pull over, close it,
then you get into trouble. You get fined, and depending on how serious the traffic offense is, can be lots of money, jail time even. So you're given a license. That license means responsibility. Human life is the same thing. Responsibility. When you get a traffic ticket, you can't go to the judge and say, "Judge, I didn't know it was against the law to drive 300 miles an hour. Well, I didn't know that." Ignorance is no excuse. The judge will say, "You were supposed to know. Because you have that license, you were supposed to know the law." So the same way, ignorance is no excuse. We are supposed to know what are the laws of nature, the laws of God. That's why Bhagavad Gita is not optional. It's mandatory. That is why Srila Prabhupada pleaded with us, distribute these books, because the people do not know what is to be done, what is not to be done. They have to be informed. Therefore, distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books is of utmost importance for ourselves and for others, so that people will know what they should be doing and how they can live happily in this life and the next. Continuing, the demigods, being pleased by sacrifices, will also please you, and thus by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. Because human society is not living a God-conscious life, a life of sacrifice, then there will be restriction. Then there'll be want. Then there'll be scarcity. That is the law of nature. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of sacrifice, will supply all necessities to you. But one who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. You pay a water bill, electric bill. You're getting so many things, but what's free other than birth, death, old? No, even death isn't free. But you get my point. Whatever you want in this world, you have to pay for it. So God is giving sunlight, heat, water, everything. We have to show some appreciation. We have to show some gratitude where these things are coming. Otherwise, I'm simply a thief. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. That is the whole key to what we call prasadam. Devotee will not eat anything until it is offered to God. How many of you are offering your food to God every day? Very good. If your hands are not raised, now you know what to do. The food should be offered to God, and we learned from Bhagavad Gita, what is it that God is hungry for? Love. That is the real thing. In the Bhagavad Gita, the famous verse, bhakti, Krishna accepts the love and devotion from which the thing is offered. So when we offer food to Krishna, the real thing we should be offering is our love and devotion. That is the real thing. Otherwise, if I don't offer my food to Krishna, what did he just say? One who prepares food for personal sense enjoyment verily eats only sin. So like I was saying, this is not optional. If your food that you're eating is not offered to God first, it may even be vegetarian. So there's vegetarian sin. There's non-vegetarian sin. Krishna is saying here, if you don't offer food first for sacrifice, all you're doing is eating sin. All living beings subsist on food grains, which are produced from rain. But we don't want rain tomorrow, right? How about tomorrow night? That would be okay. All living beings subsist on food grains, which are produced from rain. Rains are produced by the performance of sacrifice, and sacrifice is born of prescribed duties. Regulated activities are prescribed in the Vedas. In other words, you don't make up your prescribed duties. They're in the law books. If you would like to know what is your prescribed duty, Bhagavad Gita will clearly point it out for you. Again, that's why we emphasize distribution of Prabhupada's books, so that people will know what is their prescribed duties. And the Vedas are directly manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they're not man-made. This Bhagavad Gita is not a man-made book. It is directly coming from God. Like I said at the beginning, Bhagavad Gita, the song of God. It's not a man-made religion. It is directly coming from God. Consequently, the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. Transcendence means that which is beyond the range of your limited sense perception. There is a name for God in this connection. Adhok Shaja. Can everyone say? But that wasn't everybody. Everybody. All right, not bad. I'll give you a ding. Very good. Adhoksaja. But Adhoksaja, as is explains here by Krishna, how to achieve this? Acts of sacrifice. My dear Arjuna, one who does not follow in human life the cycle of sacrifice, thus established by the Vedas, certainly leads a life of sin, living only for the satisfaction of the senses. Such a person lives in vain. Why? As I said earlier, there is a purpose to life. The purpose of your life is to achieve complete liberation. If that doesn't happen, or if you don't at least make progress, you've wasted the opportunity given to you. So now, how can we make this very tangible? How can we make this very realizable? Then we bring in Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada. Because Lord Chaitanya, first of all, has given the easiest method of sacrifice. He can't make it any easier. That method of sacrifice, which is so easy, a child can do it, an old man can do it, anyone can do this sacrifice given to us by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it can be done by the Americans, the Indians, the Africans, everyone can do it. What is that system of sacrifice given to us by Lord Chaitanya? It's called Sankirtan. And Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan simply meant everyone, anywhere, anytime, any place, simply come together and chant the holy name of the Lord. Let's all do it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But now, Srila Prabhupada has taken the concept of Sankirtan and expanded it. This is the geniosity of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada took this concept because literally Sankirtan, Sankirtan, complete, full glorification of God. That's what Sankirtan means. Complete, full glorification of God. First, you have to agree that God is the person worthy of glorifying, not Lady Gaga. God is the person who is worthy of glorification. Right? Tonight and weeks to come, all the movie stars and actresses, and they're all going to be, you know, patting each other on the back. Oh, you're so great. Oh, I love your gown. This is all wasted, foolish. Real glorification should be for that person who is the most worthy. There's a devotee here. He's my best friend. His name is Archita Das. The very name Archita means God who is the most worthy of worship. There should be no dispute. 5,000 years ago, when Maharaj Yudhisthira was doing the Rajasuya sacrifice, there's a certain portion of the sacrifice, Agra Puja. Who should be the first person worshipped in the sacrifice? And different people were suggesting, I think it should be this person, that person, because there were many exalted personalities in the sacrifice. Arjuna's younger brother, Sahadev, stood up and said, no, no, no. The best person, the first person should be worshipped is Krishna. And Sahadev spoke so brilliantly. Everyone agreed, yes, Sahadev, you're right. Krishna is the one that should be worshipped first. So Sankirtan means complete, full glorification of that person who is the most worthy to be glorified. Look at Rukmini Dwarkadish Radha Krishna. Do they not look worthy of being glorified? Anybody disagree? Good. There are no hidden people in the audience. You're all devotees. Very good. No, sometimes it can happen. You might get somebody spy or something. So Sankirtan means complete full glorification of this person, God. But now, how can you do that? That's what Prabhupada's genius was. Yes, we chant every day on our... Oh, that's my next question. How many are chanting on their beads every day? I see some hands are not raised. Everybody who doesn't have a set of beads, right after class, go to the gift shop, get your beads. Should have your beads so that you can chant. What should we chant? Very good. I forgot for a second. Very good. All right. Then there's another kind of... That's your personal chanting called japa. But then there is public chanting. We call that kirtan or sankirtan. We go on the streets with our drums, our cymbals, and whether they like it or not, too bad. They're going to hear the glorification of God. That's what tomorrow is. Tomorrow is the day all the Hare Krishnas come out of the closet. And they get dressed up nicely. And they flaunt their Krishna consciousness on the... Because every year they televise this. They always got to stick in at least a few seconds. And there we have the Hare Krishnas. What to speak of the Krishna Bhavana. How many people attend the actual parade? Do you have any figures of the actual number?
Thousands.
Thousands. And on the TV, it's a few millions. So... I've said this many, many times. Here in Los Angeles, you know, every group has their day. You name the group, they've got their... We have one of those such days. Rath Yatra is our day, is it not? Here's another day for us. Come out, be proud. Yes, I believe in Krishna. And I want to glorify Krishna and chant his holy name. And we do it loudly. Yes. We do it loudly. So that's kirtan. Lord Chaitanya inaugurated that. He himself would get up early in the morning and go through the streets and towns telling everybody, wake up. Come on, wake up. You're sleeping. Time to get up. Time. And he would chant the names of the Lord, inducing people. Time to wake up by chanting the names. But then Prabhupada, he had this concept of Brihat Mridanga. The Mridanga. Can you hit the Mridanga for us? Two sides. All right. So that sound goes a certain distance. But there's a greater drum which Prabhupada demonstrated. And we have a devotee here, Rameshwar Das. He in here in Los Angeles. He took that message of Srila Prabhupada back in 1972 and influenced this whole movement to take up this Brihat Mridanga. Because he heard from Prabhupada, distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. Prabhupada himself pointed out that when we play the drum, yes, you can hear it for some distance. But when his books are distributed, the sound vibration is going far and wide. I myself know exactly the potency of Prabhupada's books. The very first book I got was just a pamphlet. But when I read that pamphlet, I read it from cover to cover. I read it one time, two times. I said, this is what I have been looking for all my life. And I turned the book over, and there was this picture of Prabhupada like this. I said, this is my guru. Because I was with some people, and they were talking about this Guru Maharaji and this Baba and this. And to me, it was all gobbledygook. I said, this is all stupid nonsense stuff. But when I read this one pamphlet, Transcendental Teachings of Prahlad, and what was Prabhupada saying? No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no game. Ah, he's finally saying the real thing here. Prabhupada was speaking right to me. But then what really sealed the deal was when I got Prabhupada's Krishna book. Chapter 1, chapter 2. By the time I got to chapter 6, knockout. Okay, Prabhupada, I'm ready to join your movement. Took 6 chapters, 6 rounds. After Krishna killed Putana, that's it. I'm joining Prabhupada's movement. This is the power of Prabhupada's books. How many of you are here because of Prabhupada's books? Look at that. Look at that. So Prabhupada took this concept of Sankirtan and expanded on it. We're not done. Oh, you think we're done? Prabhupada is a genius. Prabhupada knew, okay, there's going to be a class of people. I won't get them through the books. I've got my restaurants. The ultimate weapon of the Hare Krishna movement. Prasadam. I would hope. I don't know why. But there should be a Hare Krishna restaurant on K Street. You know what K Street is? K Street is where all the corrupt laws of our country are created. K Street is where all the lobbyists, that's their dom. Okay? It's their neighborhood. Now, Prabhupada says that all the politicians of the world, they're making laws under the influence of alcohol and meat. They're eating meat, drinking alcohol. So with these sinful brains, now you realize why we get the stupid laws that we get. Because our politicians don't have brains, they have cow dung. Therefore, we need a Hare Krishna restaurant in Washington, D.C. Then we tell the politicians, don't talk, just eat. Just eat. Maybe we'll get a good law. Maybe. But we would need it all over. We would need one in every capital of the world. But Prabhupada taught us, think big. Shoot for the rhinoceros. So we have our prasad distribution. Big. When we do Rati Yatra, why do we do Rati Yatra? Why does the temple spend, was it $100,000? The temple budget for Rati Yatra, I think, if I'm not mistaken, is $100,000. Why? Because we want to distribute books, prasadam, this expanded concept of Sankirtan. Because that's why we're here. We used to ask Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you did so much for us. You saved us from hell. You delivered us. You have given us so much. How can we repay you? All Prabhupada wants is for us to do what he did and give Krishna consciousness to everyone. That's all Prabhupada wants out of us. If you can appreciate anything that Prabhupada has given you, you can repay that by giving Krishna consciousness to somebody else. Even you young children in school, even if all you say to somebody is, Hari Bol, that is fantastic. When I used to work, I used to work here in Westwood as a bookkeeper. When the phone would ring, Hari Bol, they thought I was saying hello. Because I would say it real fast, Hari Bol. One time in the elevator, there was about 20 foreign exchange students. And each few were speaking in a different language. I was like, okay. So I started to talk out loud. Sarvanaman Paritya Jama me kan sharanam varja. Ahangdwang sava papebyo mukshai shi mahasutra. I said, if they're going to talk gibberish, I'll talk my gibberish. The concept is, don't be afraid to be who you are. Don't be afraid. You are Krishna's devotee. How many of you consider yourselves Krishna's devotee? Yes, be Krishna's devotee and be happy that you're Krishna's devotee. Krishna is the greatest, the most powerful, the most affluent, the most beautiful. You've got a lot to be proud of. So take refuge in Krishna. So we have our books, we have kirtan, we have japa, we have prasadam, we have our temples. We have each other, the association of devotees, group hug. We have each other. Very good, kids. Very good. I don't know about you, but if I'm going throughout the world, all of a sudden I see a devotee. Oh, Hari Bol! I told you, I used to have a job here in Westwood. So one day, I was coming out of the office, ready to go home. All of a sudden, there was Swavas with his son on the street. I didn't care. I went down and paid full dandavats to Swavas right there in the street. I was so happy to see a devotee. So happy. Prabhupada gave us this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He gave us the association of each other. We should appreciate that we have each other. Because if there was no international society, if there was no association of devotees, good luck. Somebody was asking me recently a question, and I explained to them, Maya can get you real easily when it's one-on-one, full court press. Right? Those who play basketball, you know what I'm talking about. One-on-one. No chance you have against Maya. She's insurmountable. She's got, what, 8, 10 arms? You've got 2. You're not going to win. But Maya cannot touch you when you are in the association of another devotee or more. Look at us now. 50, 60 people here. No chance Maya can come. All we have to do is loudly say, Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Krishna! Be gone, Satan. You know I've told you the story 100 times, but I love to tell it 101st time. My first day on book distribution in New York. Forget about it. Bhakta Nick. Shaved up. Brahmachari. Fired up. Because when I joined the movement, I said, yeah, I'm going to be a sannyasi, man. Just give me a few years. Swami Nick, yeah. So I'm with my older god brother, and we're at 34th Street, Penn Station. And we're zipping along. We have our buckets. We have our Back to Godhead magazines. All of a sudden, I feel something very sharp on my back. Give me your money. And I, what is it, a gun or a knife? And I turned to my godbrother, what do we do now? And he said in his nice, pure Jewish voice, chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare! And the guy ran away. I love it. I said to him, wow, this mantra really works. And that has been my experience throughout my life. Whenever I've had a problem, whenever I've been between a rock and a hard place, whenever I'm at that point where it's like me against the world, and I feel like I just take shelter of loud chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And before long, I remember that day, 1978, 79. I don't know how it happened. For the life of me, I don't know how it happened. But one day I woke up and I said, oh my God, I'm in Maya. And I wasn't just saying that. I was in Maya. I was deep in doo-doo Maya. I was in so much Maya, it was choking me. I couldn't believe it. Wait, what happened to Swami Nick? Here I was, stone cold, in so much Maya, I didn't know what to do. Fortunately, I remembered, just start chanting, stupid. So that's what I did. I just started chanting, nonstop. Then before long, like Wayne's World, next thing you know, I'm back with the devotees, no more Maya. Don't you just love it? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So never underestimate the power of the Hare Krishna mantra. It's always there. You just have to take shelter of it and believe. Believe in Krishna and His holy name and this Sankirtan movement. Prabhupada once said, everything about this movement is sacrifice. Everything. Some of the devotees, like when I got here before you did, when I was setting up my ostentatious scene here, there was a devotee cleaning the marble. That's sacrifice. That's Sankirtan. Why? Because this movement is sacrifice. This, everything about this movement is Sankirtan. The devotees that are right now on the altar, they are also doing sacrifice. They are also doing Sankirtan. How would you like it if you came to the temple and it was not nice? You wouldn't like it. But because they also are Sankirtan, isn't the temple very, very nice? The altar very, very nice? That doesn't happen by osmosis. It's not that somebody is hocus pocus. Ha! No. There is a team of devotees from morning to night serving these deities. That's why. And they live by a very strict code. They sacrifice. We have devotees that work in the kitchen all day long in the kitchen. That's their sacrifice. That's their sankirtan. Anything that you are doing in or for this movement, that is your sacrifice. That is your sankirtan. When the devotees, I know it doesn't happen very often, but sometimes the devotees ask for donations. Not very often, right? Joke. All right. Anyway, when they ask for donations and you give a donation, that's sacrifice. That's your contribution to sankirtan movement. When you come to the programs, that is your participation. So take the benefits that Srila Prabhupada is giving you, and as Prabhupada used to always say, chant and be happy. And I add, whether you like it or not. Let's chant one more time, everybody.